My assignment tonight comes from the 4th chapter of Hebrews in the 16th verse. It reads, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We're going to talk about the throne of God for a little bit tonight, and we're going to talk about the mercy seat of God, and we're going to talk where man has to go if they want to obtain the mercy and the grace of God. But to fully understand the 16th verse, you really need to back up a couple of verses to the 14th and the 15th, because the 16th is more of a culmination of the three verses put together. And in the 14th and in the 15th verses, we learn about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And as Terry spoke this morning, the priesthood of Christ was a better system. It was a new system. It was better than the old earthly priests that had to kill continually, and they were sinful men as well. But when Jesus Christ came to earth, he died upon the cross. He was perfect. He had no sin in him. He was able to justify God and the laws that God had set. And when Jesus died once and for all and ascended unto heaven, it was for once and for all. It was complete and it was perfect and it was never to be done again. Jesus then wrote the new law. So realizing the perfection of the priesthood of Jesus Christ as compared to the imperfections of the Levitical priesthood, we now have come to the 16th verse, where through Jesus and through the sacrifice that he made, as he sits upon the right hand of the throne of God, he said, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may receive and obtain mercy and grace." And this is the key. This is the key. This is the heart of this entire verse, that we might receive the mercy and the grace of God. When we begin to reflect upon ourselves as humanity, we really see the insignificance of us, and we see the position that we hold in relationship to the government which God has created. But the Bible says here in this verse that if we come to the mercy seat, that we will be able to get some relief from the condemnation that we deserve. And when we receive mercy, then this is a relief on the part of the one that receives the mercy. Mercy is a manifestation of the divine goodness of God, and it is given to the unworthy and to the evil man, the creation of man. And because we are all sinners, we all require the mercy and the grace of God. We don't merit the blessings of mercy. We don't merit the blessings of grace. We have no claim on God's favor, because by sin we have forfeited our title to the favor of God. And in fact, instead of mercy and grace, we actually deserve his wrath. Thus we have justice versus mercy. Every sinner, the Bible tells us, stands in need of the mercy and the grace of God, because the death sentence is upon all of us, because as Romans says in the 3rd chapter, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, as a creature, is a creature that is inclined to sin, and unless there is something that holds back that sin, this preventing grace and the mercy of God, an individual cannot help but to fall in mercy. So the sinner stands in need of the mercy and the grace of God. And if we fail to obtain this mercy and grace, in this mercy and this grace, we will perish. All salvation flows from the mercy of God. And in a nutshell, without it, we would be lost. And with it, we have an opportunity of salvation. So the mercy and grace is the heart of the 16th verse of the 4th chapter of Hebrews. As we begin to look at this a little better, I know that there are times when we need mercy and the grace of God possibly more at some times than we do at others. I guess we could say that life is hard, but sometimes it's even harder. Life is sometimes good and things roll along pretty smooth, but then we reach those patches in our life that are very difficult, and we need the mercy and the grace that God is able to provide. So sometimes we need more grace and more mercy in our life than we do at other times. As the Bible says, it's find grace to help us in our time of need, and grace to help us while there is still yet time, when it is an opportune time when we need the special help of God. There are seasons when we need grace more than at other times. Now, we're always dependent upon the mercy of God, because we could not exist without it. But life is perilous at best. And sometimes we are pressed by temptation. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we are particularly weak. Sometimes we find in our situation that it is dark in our life. Sometimes we have the doubts that begin to arise. And when we find ourselves standing on these slippery slopes, we need an extra portion of the mercy and the grace of God. And that's why the verse says, come boldly unto the throne of God to obtain the mercy and the grace that we need. We need it always, but sometimes we need it even a little more. I'll give you a few examples here, some of these special situations. There are more sometimes that we are more tempted to sin than at other times. Sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position or a place that we shouldn't be. And the temptation to sin becomes a little greater. Sometimes the foes that surround us are more persistent. It is a little stronger force than what we are used to. And if we're not very careful, and if we don't ask for this extra portion of mercy and grace, this would give us a tendency to sin. And the tendency to sin is part of every human being that has ever lived. When this tendency to sin is aroused into activity and becomes a reality, then it's time that when we realize we're in the situation that we need to call on God. In such a time as this, we have a very pressing need for the benevolent grace of God Almighty. What can cause this? Prosperity is a wonderful thing. We live in a capitalistic society, and oftentimes capitalistic greed can take over from just the good of a capitalistic society in which we're all able to work and to make the living that we want to. But there is such a thing as capitalistic greed. And when an individual becomes greedy and all he can think about is money and the ability to make money and the money that he can make and the money that he can spend and the things that he can buy with his money, then a man's got a problem. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, they didn't say that money was bad, because money's not bad. Prosperity's not bad. Wealth is not bad. And things of this, and an individual that has been blessed with wealth, if he will use his wealth in the proper way, it is a blessing to him and to all of those around him. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And if an individual finds himself in the position that money is the only thing in his life, and his priorities are out of whack. Because prosperity, the love of money, will cause spiritual injury to people, especially if they don't have the grace and the mercy that they require. It brings the temptations to luxury. It'll also cause a conformity to the world. It has the ability to lead to spiritual laziness, spiritual apathy. Prosperity can lead to a sense of false security. It can cause us to rely upon ourselves instead of relying upon God, as we have been told. If an individual finds himself in a situation like this where he is more dependent upon what he has and upon himself and upon his possessions than he is upon God, then this is an individual that needs a real strong dose of the grace and the mercy of God to straighten his pathway, to correct him, and to get his priorities straight. And then there's the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the lack of prosperity, and we often have found ourselves in this position as well. And in an hour of defeat, in an hour of failure, mankind has at times committed crimes against man and against God. If an individual finds himself in poverty, there are new temptations that he will face, and the despair that comes from this situation oftentimes causes people to resort to lawlessness and might cause him to take things that does not belong to him so that they'll be able to obtain the supplies that they need for the temporal existence. And this individual that finds himself in a position like this again is in need of going to the throne of God to receive the mercy and the grace that God can deliver to help them over this rough time until things change. There's also trials that would cause an individual to need a little extra grace and mercy that would come from bodily afflictions. I go back to the Apostle Paul. I'm not sure what the bodily affliction was of the Apostle Paul, but we do know that there was some physical deformity with the Apostle Paul. We know it because Paul prayed continually that this affliction would be removed from him, and God said no. This affliction is for your own good. This affliction is a blessing unto you, and God said you need to learn to live with it, and the Apostle Paul did just that. He accepted it. He accepted the affliction as being from God, and he dealt with it. He accepted it, and he went on doing the things he was supposed to do. But many, with afflictions that they have, whether it's something you're born with or whether it's something, an accident, or it's something that develops in their life, many are unable to deal with these afflictions. They view the afflictions as evil, and they rebel against the hand that afflicts the affliction. They grow hard in heart. They become bitter in their temperament. They become impatient and distrustful. I know this because we read about this in the book of Job. When Job was had so many afflictions, and his friends came to Job and said, Job, just curse God and die. It's not worth it to live like this. This is a problem. It's a problem that people have. It's a problem that exists every day. And if we find in ourselves in a position like this, we need to go to the throne of God with a prayer, with mercy, and accept the grace and the mercy of God, because we are in serious need of an attitude adjustment. This next one is something that I was around just very shortly ago, and that was bereavement. Just great despair over a loss of an individual. Death can come very near to us, and this is something that we have all dealt with, and it's a very serious situation. And some deaths are not fair, and some tragedies are not understandable. Sometimes we do not understand why things happen. But we've got to remember that God is, in fact, in charge, and that we have to realize that we can go to God and that He will help us. But I've heard the statement made when there was a terrible, terrible tragedy and the doubts began to come out. How could God have allowed this to happen? A good, gracious, merciful God, and yet this still happened, and they began to have doubts. And this in fact, is blasphemy. When you begin to doubt the wisdom and the authority and the love and the graciousness of God, because God's not the one that causes these terrible things to happen, it is Satan himself. So, we've all heard these statements, we've all heard people say these things, it is something that possibly is part of our human nature, but if we get into a case of bereavement over a tragedy or anything that happens, we need to remember that God is the one that gives us the strength and the courage to get out of this, and we certainly can't blame God for the things that happen in this world. And the mercy and the grace of God is something in this situation that is necessary and is needed very quickly. And of course, we will all face death itself and the mystery that surrounds death. We have an opportunity as believers to approach the throne of God for the wisdom and the power and the grace and the strength to get through this type of situation. And thankfully, as Christians, we can obtain the mercy and the grace of God. Because the Bible tells us here in the 16th verse of the 4th chapter of Hebrews that there is a throne from which the mercy and the grace of God flows and where it can be obtained. The throne of grace is the throne of God. It's the throne of our Creator. It is not the throne of some awful, terrible ruler, but it's the throne of God, a gracious Father, a gracious Creator, an individual that loves us, an individual that is willing to bestow the blessings of His mercy and His grace to those that have obeyed Him and those that seek Him. The treasures and the mercies and the graces of God are not limited. They are inexhaustible. He will forgive us as long as we honestly repent. It's not something that is numbered. It is something that is continual. He delights in communicating with His children, and He gives to us freely, bountifully, and enjoys the giving that He gives to His children. He is our Father. He is our Creator. He is our God, and He's able to bless. He enjoys to bless, but He also chastises us because He loves us. And all of this grace and mercy and love and all of the many things that God wants to give to us, the Bible tells us it's available to us from the throne of God if we will, in fact, seek it. And He encourages us to seek it. We have ample encouragement to approach the throne of grace. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, Hebrews says, encouraging us to draw near with boldness to the place where God lives. We have a freedom of access to the throne. We have freedom of speech with the Creator that sits upon the throne. There is nothing that we cannot talk about with God. There's nothing that we can't tell God. There's nothing we can't ask God. He knows it already. But there is nothing that we cannot communicate when we're dealing with God. And we're able to draw near our God, the Creator, our Father, with confidence. And we can do this because of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. That's where the 14th and the 15th verse comes in this passage, when we are able to understand the importance of the sacrifice that Jesus made by giving himself a perfect individual at one time, able to justify the holy anger that God had because of the undisciplined and the sinful children that he created. We now have Jesus sitting at the right-hand throne of God that has revealed unto us the infinite love of the Father that he has toward us. And we are able to approach God now through his Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect mediator. A man that was tempted in all points, even as we have been, but yet he survived them without sin. He justified the old law. He sympathizes with our infirmities. He knows our problems. And he sits as an advocate for us on the right-hand throne, on the right-hand side of the throne of the Almighty God. So, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So concludes my study. Hope there's been something possible said. This time we will offer an invitation song, and if you need the help of the church, we ask you to come forward.